In the late 1970s, I was around then, America began to run in really high gear. And everything had to be a little quicker. It had to be a little faster. And in the midst of a society that was speeding up, the Heinz Company did something that was completely counter to everything that was going on in the nation. And I want you to consider this ad from 1979.
Boys, your ketchup's slow. You mean your mom doesn't buy you Heinz? No, why should she? Wait till you taste it.
Heinz ketchup, the taste that's worth the wait.
All right. It was brilliant. Here they took a negative, how long it takes to get ketchup out of the bottle. Now, for some of you, you're going, hey, all you do is turn it upside down and squirt it. It didn't used to be like that. Ketchup came in glass bottles. And literally your food got cold trying to get the ketchup out of the bottle. You're sticking a knife up in there trying to do anything to get the ketchup to come out. Now this is a negative. And they turn it around into a positive. As a matter of fact, what they said was, the longer it takes for your ketchup to get out, the richer and tastier the ketchup is going to be. And so they added an element of anticipation. And it was nice. Carly Simon wrote the song for them. Well, she didn't write it for them, but they took it. They took a thing that was negative, turned around and made a complete positive out of it. And that was, waiting was worth it. The anticipation was part of the appeal. Last week, we lit the first candle in our Advent wreath. And Advent is about anticipation. It's about waiting and looking and longing for something that is worth the wait. Now, in the times leading up to Jesus' birth, there were many in Israel who lived with a sense of anticipation. There was a promise that God had given them that he would send a Messiah. He would send a king who would come to them. And so they lived with this sense of looking forward to this fulfillment of the promise of God. Now, admittedly, there were people who didn't. They didn't have this hope in them. They figured it was all pie in the sky. It was all something, you know, just a dream, just a fantasy. Nothing would ever come to pass. But there were people who really looked forward to it, who really anticipated this coming. And we're going to consider two of those people this morning. One was named Simeon and the other Anna. So have you have your Bibles on a ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're actually going to look at a pretty good chunk of scripture here this morning. Luke chapter 2. We want to look at verses 22 through 40. And what we're going to discover here as we go through this this happening in the life of a very young Jesus, just a little over a month old, it's going to give us some good insight as we consider the anticipation that we can have, the looking forward to that we can have when it comes to Christmas. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. According to Leviticus 12, a male child was to be circumcised on the 8th day. On the 40th day of their lives, they were to be taken to the temple to be consecrated. There were actually two things that went on here. First of all, there was a purification rite for Mary, having given birth in because of the importance of blood to the people of Israel. There would be a purification rite on the 40th day for Mary, and that's where the two doves or pigeons would be offered. Now, the doves and pigeons were offered because Joseph and Mary, quite honestly, were among the working poor. And so a greater sacrifice could be offered if you were able to do it. But what we read here is Joseph and Mary were not well-off people. They were getting by. They were among the working poor. And so they would have offered these lesser offerings that were no less significant. But also, if you noticed, not only was that to happen, but Jesus was consecrated. And in doing that, this was a remembrance back to the Exodus, the Passover. If you remember that, God said, "Take a lamb, you slaughter it, you put the door on the doorpost of your house. And when the angel of death sees this, he will pass over. Instead of the firstborn of your family dying, the angel will pass over." And so in recognition of that, Joseph likely brought also a lamb. And that lamb would be offered to signify that the firstborn who belonged to the Lord was now spared. And Jesus would be dedicated, consecrated to the Lord at this time. Now, why is even this in here? What's the big deal about this? Well, here's the big deal. Our scripture makes a big deal about Jesus' parents being faithful to the scriptures and beginning Jesus' life by being faithful to follow what God had for them as parents. And, you know, we could build an entire message around this, but for those of you who are parents, let me just encourage you as strongly as I can, begin well. When your children are young, let them see in your life devotion to the Lord. That will mean more than anything they will ever see here in Sunday school or anything that they will ever get out of a children's worship service. Them seeing your devotion. Because you see, Jesus came with a great respect for the scriptures, a great respect for the things of his Father. In fact, he said himself that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And we want to see in our children and our grandchildren that they are fulfilling God's call on their lives. And so begin early. That's a freebie. We'll get back to this. Okay. So they come in and they're in the temple courts. They're going about their business. They're doing their acts of devotion. And they end up encountering two people that they never expected to encounter. One was a guy named Simeon. Simeon, his name actually means God has heard. So what does that mean? It may mean that the Simeon's parents have been praying for a long time for a guy, for a child, and then Simeon was born, and so they named him God has heard. He heard, he answered our prayer. His name also may tie into his mission. This is so cool. These parents who thought, oh man, I'm coming up with this name, all, you know, it's a family name, or I'm coming up with this off the cuff or whatever. Oh, isn't this a creative name? And in essence, God had planned it all along. God has heard. Remember, Simeon had been waiting, anticipating the coming of the consolation of Israel, the Messiah. And his name, something he did not choose, was also a looking forward, a clinging to this promise, this hope. God has heard. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't gone off and left. He's not taking a nap. God has heard. So even his name looks forward. And so they come in, and here's Simeon, and it says that he was righteous and he was devout. In other words, this was not some guy that wandered in off the street. Here was a guy who was committed to the Lord. In the book of Habakkuk, we learn that the righteous shall live by faith. And so it's obvious that Simeon was a man of faith. But what does it mean that he was devout? Devout basically means that you take the things of God seriously. And so he was a man of faith who took the things of God seriously. And here he was in the temple courts because God had given him particularly a promise. And the promise was, you will see with your own eyes, before you die, you will see with your own eyes the Messiah, the answer to your hope. What you've been anticipating, you're going to see it. And so he was led by the Holy Spirit to the temple on that day when Mary and Joseph came in, and the Spirit prompted him and said, there he is. There he is. So Simeon goes over and he does something really wild. Now, if you're a parent and your baby is just over a month old, and here comes this man, an old guy, walking out and takes the child out of your arms, you can imagine that's going to cause a bit of alarm. So he comes over and he takes Jesus, the baby, in his arms. And he begins to share with them what's going to happen. Because you see, he was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Now, what does this word consolation mean? When we think of consolation, we think of like, okay, that's second prize. You didn't come in first. Here's your consolation prize. You know, you could have won the showcase showdown. I mean, you could go away with this brand new Ford Taurus. You could go away with this brand new boat. You could go away with these beautiful kitchen appliances. But you lost. You came in second. So here's $50 and a McDonald's gift card. Have a good day. Consolation prize. We don't like consolation prizes. Consolation means comfort. The prophet Isaiah said, comfort. Comfort my people. That's what God says. Comfort. Now we like comfort, don't we? Here's what comfort isn't. Comfort isn't your lazy boy. Comfort isn't your warm bed on a rainy Sunday morning. Comfort is having peace no matter what your circumstances are. You see, Simeon lived in a time of great oppression, political oppression, religious hypocrisy all around, inequity financially. It was a difficult time. We think we have difficult times. That was a tough time. Just imagine if your enemy actually ran your country. That's what they lived in day by day. A struggle just to get by. No welfare system, no EBT cards. There was nothing like that. You did everything you could simply to get by. This was their life. And yet, in the midst of that, there was comfort, there was peace, there was hope to be had. He was waiting for the consolation, the hope, the comfort of Israel. And so he takes the baby in his arms and he says a number of things. First of all, he says that salvation has come. Salvation has come. Here he is. Salvation has come. Have you ever waited for something, longed for something? Maybe you ordered something in the mail. You're really looking forward to it coming. Okay? I had to order a new computer. Mine was slowing down. It was now not running on a CPU. It was actually some combination of molasses and motor oil that was running in my computer. So I had to order a new computer. It told me, you know, it's pretty cool now because you can actually track these things. Every hour. Every hour. I was tracking it. I knew it was coming. Then I looked. It's in Augusta. It's on the truck. It's on the way. And so I'm checking it. It's going to come. It's here. I can't imagine the joy that must have filled Simeon when he held that baby in his arms. Salvation has come. It's here. I knew it was coming. I've been praying for it, been looking for it, been longing for it. Here it is. Finally in my arms. He said that God was going public. This is not a secret anymore. This child who's going to be Messiah, everybody's going to know it. He's not going to be hidden. He's not going to be tucked away. He's going to be out in public where everybody can see. He said even the Gentiles would be included. And he's standing in the temple. In the probably at least a quarter of the women, because that's as far as Mary could have gone. They've passed through the court of the Gentiles. Remember, the court of the Gentiles is outside. There's a fence there. There are guards there. And they say, you can't go any further. Gentiles, you can't come in any further than this. You can worship God from the outside, but you can't worship God on the inside. You stay out. He's come as a light to the Gentiles. He's come to reach beyond the wall, to get outside the norm, the restrictions. This is who's come. This is the one who was promised. This is the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's promise. But then he looks at Mary and he says, his coming, his presence is not going to be without pain. Pain for him and pain for you. He says there are going to be many who would rise and fall because of him. He's going to be spoken against. Now, moms, you're protective, aren't you? Somebody says something bad about your baby, you don't like that at all. It may be true, but you don't like it. He's going to be spoken against. We know that Jesus was spoken against. He came, he was born of a virgin. That means Mary was pregnant without Joseph, which meant Jesus got called a lot of names just growing up. I'll let you fill in the blank. The way he lived. People said, oh, he hangs around with prostitutes and sinners. He's a drunk himself. Matter of fact, even Jesus' mothers and brothers came, thought he'd gone nuts and just wanted to take him home, let him rest. He's going to be spoken against. But I guess this being spoken against really was climaxed at his arrest and his mock trial. And even as he hung on the cross, people walked by and they wagged their heads at him and said, oh, you think you can save Israel? You can't even save yourself. You're a Messiah. Just come down, show us. And he even after his resurrection, even today, he's being spoken against. But that's not all that Simeon revealed about him. It said he would expose what's hidden in the heart. And that's such a neat thing about Jesus. He got right to the heart of the matter. He pretense, fakery, none of that got to Jesus. He looks straight at the hearts of people, and he does the same thing today. He knows your heart. He knows the hidden you. The you that nobody else sees. And you go, well, I'm not so bad. And you probably aren't. But I can almost guarantee you, if Jesus were planning to show up at your house this afternoon, there'd be some things you'd probably get rid of. Am I right? I mean, think about it. I think I might. Oh, I better go through my history file on my computer and make sure. You know, Jesus might open it up. I better go look and see if there's a log of what I watched on my TV because Jesus might check it out. I better look at the magazines I've got here. I better look at what's in my refrigerator. I better check all these things out because if Jesus is showing up, I don't want to be embarrassed. Listen, Jesus knows. Cleaning up's not going to fix it. He knows your heart. He exposes the heart. But he also said, Mary, you're going to suffer. Your soul will be pierced. These words, listen, these words were spoken before Jesus hung on the cross. Can you imagine the pain of his mother as she stood there and as she watched the soldier run the spear through Jesus' side and into his heart? When Simeon held Jesus and the Holy Spirit spoke to him of this child, he did not envision a soldier in gleaming armor riding into Jerusalem on a white stallion. He saw exactly what the prophet Isaiah said would come to pass: a suffering servant. And yet, he would suffer for our comfort, for our peace, for our consolation. Now, there was also somebody else there. There was a woman named Anna. And we read some interesting things about Anna. She was 84, which is pretty old for that time. 84, you're well outside the window of you should have been gone. Okay? People live 30, 40 years. So Anna, people are going to look at her and go, wow, she's been around a while. It also says that she was a widow, and she'd been a widow for over 60 years. Now, what had she been doing for 60 years? Bible tells us that. She'd been in the temple. Day and night, she'd been in the temple. She'd been praying. She'd been fasting. She'd been right there in the temple. We also know she was a prophet. Now, that might blow some of your minds. But it shouldn't, because the prophet Joel said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. She was a prophet. She spoke on behalf of God. And she was devout. And so she's in this temple too. She sees Jesus too. And for him, for her, he's the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean? We talked about redemption. We've talked about being redeemed. What does that mean? It means to redeem something is to buy something back or to pay the price in order to set someone free. Jesus is the redemption of Jerusalem. He would pay a price outside the city walls. But not just for for the people of Israel. He'd pay the price for all of us. The sacrifice that Joseph made during this consecration ceremony for Jesus was a remembrance of the Passover. In other words, this wasn't the Passover lamb that he was making this offering, but he was offering a lamb as redemption. In other words, I know that my firstborn belongs to you. Instead of my firstborn dying, here is a lamb to substitute for my son. That's what Joseph was intending. But what Anna saw was, in this month-old baby, he is the sacrifice for the rest of us. Joseph, you brought a lamb to offer for your son. What you've really brought is a lamb who's going to be offered for all of us. And so, let me just tie it up. There are two things we need to make sure we pull out of this scripture. First of all, Jesus is our comfort. Jesus is our comfort. No matter what you are going through now, no matter what your future looks like, no matter what your struggles are, no matter what the pain is that you are enduring, no matter how dark your night is or how bad your suffering is, Jesus is our peace and our comfort. It does not mean he's going to take all the stuff away. It just means he's going to be with us in the middle of it. So many of you have lost people near and dear to you. You know what that's like. We celebrated the homegoing of our brother, our elder chairman, John Mobley. And the biggest thing that you did for that family was not the words that you said or the memorial gift that you made. The biggest thing you can do for them or for anyone who's suffering is simply to be there. Just to be there. In the middle of their pain, to go and to sit in the ashes with them. And I thank you that you are a church that does that. Keep doing it. But what we discover about Jesus is he doesn't come in with a magic wand and you know, bippity-boppity-boo and all your problems go away. He enters into your life. He comes and he sits with you in your suffering. Yes, there are times he relieves your suffering and he answers prayers and he makes things right. But listen, don't get to the point where you want Jesus as some kind of magician when he comes as your comfort, when he comes as your peace, which is far greater. Parents, I hope you don't fix every problem your child has. If you do, you're going to have some really messed up kids. Sometimes the best thing you can do for your children is to sit down and go, you know what, I'm sorry. You can't do this. We can't go there. But I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to be here. You may not get what you want, but you got me. And in the end, you know this. That's far better. The second thing we discover from here is Jesus is not only our comfort, Jesus is our redemption. This is the greatest hope of Christmas. Jesus is our redemption because you see, he didn't come just to be perpetual baby Jesus. He came in order to live a perfect life, to die a sinner's death, even though he wasn't one. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, he took our punishment because he was our Redeemer. He was our redemption. He is our peace with God. Now we're in December. And children and grandchildren are looking forward to Christmas. Now, I don't know where your kids are. I remember when I was a child, we used to get the wish book from Sears. Okay? They don't do that anymore, do they? Okay. Well, they stopped sending them to me anyway. Okay. No wish book. Now you got it. Now everything else is Amazon. Okay. All right. You don't get the Sears book. I would go through the Sears wish book and I would indicate, if I had little post-it notes, I'd have put them in there, but they hadn't invented post-it notes yet. This is way back when you actually had to use a pen and circle something and dog-ear the page, and then I would hand off the catalog to my mother. This is all I want right here. This is it. Which happened to be half of everything in the catalog except for the women's lingerie area, okay? Everything else, that I want it. So children look forward to Christmas, and they begin to ask. You may have already asked, hey, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want Santa to bring you? I hope this Christmas maybe we can change gears a little bit, because it's not about what Santa can bring. It's about what God already sent. And this Christmas, I pray that our anticipation will not be so much in the material things of Christmas, but in the reality that Jesus is our comfort. Jesus is our redemption. Jesus has come, and you and I get to celebrate it because he came for us.